Episode 43 of the SF Signal podcast, and spring is in the air, so it's time to exterminate those winter doldrums and sit down to watch Doctor Who. This is the SF Signal podcast, as powered by the Functional Nerds. My name's Patrick Hester. I'm an author, a blogger, and an all-around functional nerd. And tonight, I bring to you four folks who have contributed to SF Signal in some way, shape, and or form. Let's start off by going opposite. Normally, I introduce you last. Today, I'm going to introduce you first, Fred.
Hi, it's Fred Kish. I blog at The Lensman's Children. And today I made an appreciable dent in the world's coffee supply.
Ooh. Have you heard about that new healthy coffee that's supposed to have like antioxidants and all that kind of stuff in it?
As long as it's got caffeine, I don't care what else is in there.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Jeff Patterson. I blog at Gravity Lens, which can be found at baddaystudio.com. And today I excreted a large amount of coffee.
And since John and Neil could not be with us this week, of course, John D's here.
How you doing, folks? John DiNardo, resident blogger at SF Signal, and I have no relationship with coffee.
And you totally missed Anilio.
I did, last week. Ugh.
Are you kicking yourself?
I am a little bit, but I'm listening to last week's podcast over and over again as I fall asleep, so that helps.
Yeah, there's a story behind that, and for $1,000, I'll tell it. Paul, you're new to the whole podcast thing. Paul Weimer.
Hi, Paul Weimer here, blogger, longtime FNSS fan. I blog at Blog J Vistenstyle. I write for the Bunch of Nerds, and now SF Signal 2, and tea, not coffee, sorry.
Tea, not coffee? Is it sweet tea?
Sometimes.
All right, I got my eye on you now. Let's talk about Doctor Who. On April 23rd, Doctor Who returns to televisions worldwide, as for the first time ever, the episodes will air in America just within hours of airing in Great Britain, which is just awesome. The BBC is hoping that by doing this, they're going to cut down on some piracy. I don't necessarily know that that's going to happen, but it is a cool thing and worthy of a SF Signal podcast topic. So I'm putting it out there to you guys. Do you watch Doctor Who? Do you love it? Do you hate it? Or do you just plain don't care? Let's go to Fred.
Actually, I've been a Whovian since the late 60s.
Whoa, Fred. First things first, just not necessarily in that order.
Frobish.
I beg your pardon?
Joseph Frobish.
Oh, I see. I'm so sorry. Hello, how do you do?
And your name?
Smith. Dr. John Smith.
You'll have to use words of one syllable or less with me. Oh, God. It's been a long day, Patrick.
Okay,
I started with Peter Cushing.
Oh, no, Hartnell was first. Cushing is Doctor Who Light.
Well, way back in the 60s, the only Doctor Who you could see in the United States were the two movies that Hammer Films produced with Peter Cushing.
I didn't like those.
Well, that was the only thing you had.
It began just as you see here.
Do you know what you have just done? You have transferred us in time and space, and I hadn't even set the controls. Now I don't know where we are. We could be anywhere in the universe and at any time.
You have invaded the world of the Daleks.
Come with us to the petrified forest. Meet the Thals, the blonde giants who have survived the monstrous rule of the Daleks.
These are the people trapped by the Daleks. Doctor Who, the brilliant science professor. The young man who triggered off this strange journey. The professor's frightened granddaughter. And the youngster who inherited her grandfather's adventurous spirit. Doctor Who and the Daleks. Now you can see them in color on the big screen, closer than ever.
And years ago, I mean, I read about it and I heard about it, but I never saw it until the Tom Baker episodes appeared on a New York station in the late 70s. And then eventually, I think in the 80s, PBS started, funding their entire network off of
Saturday Night
Doctor Who fundraising.
Yep, Saturday night's Doctor Who.
Yep.
So, yep, I watched it too.
Now, the movies, though, Fred, I mean, I maybe it's because I watched Doctor Who first and then I saw those movies, and it was so not Doctor Who to me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree. But if you had never seen Doctor Who before, I mean, you know, this Patrick, this was before the internet.
There's no such thing.
We didn't have downloads.
I don't know. I guess those movies to me, I watched those after seeing Doctor Who and after seeing Star Wars. So that was Grand Moff Tarkin as far as I was concerned.
We could only hear the beep at night on shortwave.
Okay. Jeff.
So yes, I am a longtime fan.
Jeff.
Yes, longtime fan. My first actual experience with anything with Doctor Who in the title was the Invasion Earth movie, and that was maybe 3 years before they started running it on PBS near me. As with most people, the first syndicated ones that I saw were Tom Baker, even though I'm a huge fan of many of the Doctors, and I am very excited for the new season. I have loved everything since Russell Davies did the reboot. Not all the episodes are great, but the reason that it sticks out to me for television science fiction is because even the silliest episodes always have at their core a science fictional idea. The plot always revolves around something that you can really only find in science fiction, whatever that vessel or cliche tends to be, which is something that a lot of other science fiction shows, including ones that I love, like Firefly and stuff like that, failed to do pretty regularly. The only other ones that I remember really coming close were Babylon 5 and Farscape in recent history. So yes, I for one am very excited, and I think the piracy thing will go away when BBC America stops showing commercials when they air it.
I don't think that's going to happen. From what I understand, in the very first episode of this new series, there's a point where someone says to the Doctor, "If you go to Zaha Doom, you will die." Paul.
Yep, I watched Doctor Who on PBS in New York City since the early 80s, and I'm a fan of the new series. And I disagree slightly with Jeff. I think Doctor Who, especially the modern incarnation, is really science fiction for the masses, and that's why, not why it appeals to me, but that's why I think it appeals to the public at large. It's science fiction light. The Doctor gets thrown into a situation with his companions, and it's more adventure than science fiction. It's science fiction for people who would never pick up, say, The Quantum Thief.
Go ahead, Fred, no, Jeff, who said
that? I would agree with you completely there. It's just that the reason that it stands out for me is that I know at any time when I'm watching an episode, at some point, a science fictional thing is going to happen. I don't think it's necessarily what pushes its popularity, but so many times I'll watch an episode of a science fiction show or read a science fiction short story and go, wow, there was so little science fiction in this aside from the setting. And that just, it bothers me when something that's franchised does that repeatedly. That's all.
John.
Conceded.
Oh, conceded. Okay. John, I understand that your favorite companion of all time was Mickey.
No. Okay. No, but I am looking forward to Doctor Who coming back, actually. I started watching in 2005 when they brought it back with Christopher Eccleston. Oddly enough, my brother used to watch it years ago, the Tom Baker Doctor, and I guess it was just so, it looked so different from any show I was used to watching that I just wrote it off as campy, cheap trash that it isn't worth my time. And of course, that's kind of, you know, one of the things that they actually embrace with Doctor Who, and only in this 2005 series they just have a bigger budget to do it. It's like intentionally campy at times and just a lot of fun. There are science fictional concepts in it, sure. I think I agree with Paul where it seems like it's more adventure than focus on anything else. And here's the best part about it. It's something that I can share with my daughter that she likes watching. It's science fiction she enjoys, and that we can watch together, and something that we look forward to. So yeah, we're looking forward to it coming back.
Well,
it's still promoted as a children's show in England, so.
Sure.
The thing about Doctor Who and what I always tell people is it's a children's show. It's still considered a children's show, but it has always been produced by BBC Drama.
Mm-hmm.
And when you talk about the campiness of it, you know, I think that it was campy without intentionally being campy.
They had a thing the first couple seasons called, I think it was called Scare Factor. It was on the BBC website where the day before the episode aired, they would show the episode to some kids with their parents and then basically have the transcript of everything the family says. And they would talk about the parts that were really scary and the parts that weren't, just so that parents knew what to watch for in the episode.
Well, I agree with you in that I think it's a very open show. It's something that you can watch, you know, across generations. Kids are getting into it. You know, the adults remember the old campy show. They remember Tom Baker. They remember, you know, the celery stalk on the lapel, which was to cure a specific kind of poison, by the way. They remember that kind of stuff. And so, you know, it's just something that everybody can enjoy. Now, the piracy question is an interesting one for me. I don't think that it's going to cut down on piracy. Paul, what do you think?
I don't think it'll cut down on piracy just because, well, people don't want to watch commercials. It'll make it easier for U.S. fans to watch it sooner, having it there rather than you have to wait. I remember back when the first seasons came out that a friend of ours from England had come over for a convention and she had basically pirated Doctor Who episodes for us to watch on her laptop. And I thought, hey, this is cool. I could see this months in advance. Now that it's running at the same time, that will be cut down just for the time factor, but people are still going to try to avoid commercials any which way they can.
Yep.
And John? Don't pirate.
John?
I think if it does cut down on piracy, it'll only be in that time period that used to exist between the UK showing and the US showing. I think people who are downloading just because they either want it or because they missed it or they collect it or for whatever reason, you know, they're still gonna go torrent it or whatever.
Well, when the show was airing on the channel formerly known as Sci-Fi, they actually hacked it up to make room for all the commercials. Yeah. At least BBC America is showing it in its entirety. But they are putting in commercials, right, Jeff?
Do you know if BBC America is going to put it on in demand?
I would be shocked if they put it on in demand or on demand, simply because of money issues.
Mm.
Fred, you tried showing the new series to your daughter, didn't you? And she actually preferred the older series.
I was gonna mention that, but on piracy or viewing or whatever.
Sure.
I mean, my viewing habits are so fractured. I may not watch it until it comes out on DVD because I'm just so scattered.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, I tried watching the new episodes with her because I figured she'd like the she doesn't like stuff in black and white for whatever reason. And I didn't think she'd like the old stuff, so we started watching the new stuff, and she got bored. Then I put on the first episode with William Hartnell, and she was hooked. She loves the Daleks, and she loves the black and white. She loves the cardboard sets. I think it's because despite being campy, especially those earlier episodes, I mean, so much of the story is told through descriptive dialogue. And there's always, you know, they always had a character that appealed to the young people, and it's hooked her. She keeps asking for more and more, even though half of them don't exist anymore, unfortunately. You know, the early ones.
Is it gimmicky that they are filming in the U.S. for the first time, or I mean, is it just to capitalize on the popularity here, or do you think it's actually a nod to the American fans, John?
Sorry, I was on mute. I think it's probably done to increase some rate for ratings. I'm sure there's something to that behind it, but I don't think it's gimmicky as a viewer.
Paul,
I think it's being done for ratings. I mean, they've had episodes which were set in America before, both the old series and the new series, but actually filming in America, yeah, they're trying to get some ratings.
Hey, Jeff, is it like when Romana and the doctor went to Paris? And they just basically had them running around Paris, you know, just taking shots to justify the fact that they had spent the money to go to Paris.
Yes, it's exactly like that, Patrick. My favorite was when they did the Vesuvius episode and they actually used the sets from the show Rome.
That was cool.
They were getting ready to strike the sets, apparently. They had to take them down, and they only had like 3 days to film all the running around in the streets. So,
Fred? I'm sorry, Jeff. I thought you
were done. I'm actually kind of curious as to, you know, exactly what it is that they're going to do. You know, I know they're shooting at it in Monument Valley, and I'm kind of curious as to, you know, how much of that will really...
If there is iconic scenery on American film... It's Monument Valley.
You know,
so many movies have been shot there.
I do not want to be a nerd nitpicker here, but wasn't the Fox Doctor Who movie shot in San Francisco?
Yes, I believe it was.
Yep.
Note to listeners, I looked it up, and the 97 movie was actually shot in Vancouver. Back to the podcast. But certain people don't count that.
Well, they use his face every time they show all of them on
the
show.
They do. I mean, they have embraced the fact that he was the Doctor. And I mean, I feel bad for that actor. Although that actor has gone on to do tons of radio plays.
Yeah. And he was also, I thought, very good as the Doctor. It was just a very poor medium for him to be in.
He also did, Flash animated episodes with him.
Yes.
Hey, here's a question. Here's a question for everybody. Who's your favorite Doctor, and what's your favorite episode?
Who wants to start? Do you want to start, John? Yes, no.
Yeah, yes, sure. Sorry, I was muted again. So, yes, I'll start. Favorite Doctor would be David Tennant, and favorite episode would be Blink.
I don't want to go.
Jeff?
My favorite Doctor's got to be John Pertwee, but my favorite episode is probably still going to be Douglas Adams' Pirate Planet, although Blink is very high up there.
Paul?
Pertwee, and my favorite episode is actually the first one I ever saw, Pyramids of Mars.
Nice.
It's a good episode, yeah.
Fred?
Well, I'd have to go with Baker and Pyramids of Mars or the Talons of Wang Chang.
That's a good one.
Ooh, that's another good one.
I am torn.
It's so hard to focus on two or one or whatever.
I am seriously torn by this question, John, because I am torn between Baker and Tennant.
Okay.
And The Talons of Wang Chang is a great episode.
Pick one.
Maybe Stolen Earth.
Ooh.
There's been a lot of good ones. You know, I mean, I love the way they have, you know, they haven't ignored the past show. They've embraced, but they've changed. You know, it's like they've taken that mythology, they've changed it a little bit. I like how for this reboot, they kind of took all of that mythology and they said, you know what, that really kind of bogs us down. Let's do something that frees us up. And so let's lock it all in a time paradox bomb kind of thing.
Not just that, but it added a, it gave the Doctor a dramatic weight that he never really had before. You know, yeah, he was exiled to Earth and yeah, he had his memories taken once and stuff like that. But my God, being the last of your kind and having to run around and smile and joke through all of that really added such weight to the character, regardless of whether it was Eccleston or Tennant or Smith. I thought that really impacted very deeply with the character.
Absolutely.
It freed up the storyline.
Oh, go, Fred.
It freed up the storyline, too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Paul, what were you saying?
Just to echo what was said before, it gives the Doctor a gravitas he didn't have in the earlier series.
It does. And like I said, it also frees them up to do some other stuff. But I will say this about that what do they call it? He said like all the Time Lords are locked away in a time lock or something like that. It's like the worst time lock ever because the Daleks keep getting out.
Exterminate!
right? Am I wrong?
That started with the one, and then there was a little explanation for that didn't really break that little backstory. So.
Yeah, I know. But
a lot less offensive than the Time Lords actually getting out for that horrible episode. So
long-time watchers of Doctor Who, and I think we all have some good creds there. Did anybody else see James Bond and go, wait, you're playing who? How did he come back? What now?
Rassilon? Lord, I laughed when I saw him.
But Rassilon, really? Come on, Rassilon. And spittle spewing Rassilon. That just
he was only on for a few seconds. I mean, you know. Didn't really
it's so easy to get Patrick upset though.
So since John asked everybody, I'm sorry, go ahead, Fred.
I was going to say one thing I really do like about the reboot is how elements keep creeping in from episode to episode. Like, just the first season, you had the kid spraying Bad Wolf on the side of the TARDIS. Mm-hmm. And then the Dalek episode, I think it was the guy's code name was Bad Wolf, or was Bad Wolf Enterprises or something. And then, you know, a few episodes later, another Bad Wolf reference, Bad Wolf, you know.
Yeah, they were dropping breadcrumbs all season long.
Right, but even across, they've kept that up with the other reboot episodes and the other Doctors. It's just,
we do have to be careful of spoilers, sweetie.
Yes, well. I agree with you that was a great little thing. But one of the criticisms I had of Russell Davies was that he never ended a season to my satisfaction. He never managed to get things played out, with the possible exception of the when the Master took over. He always sort of ended things and sort of sidestepped a lot of the impact of things, which kind of bothered me. And I, to be quite frankly, wasn't really crazy with the way that the last season ended either. I was sort of like, really, we're going to, you know.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
You're going to dump all this on us and then just sort of walk around for 20 minutes? I could have done a little more with that. So
my question, since John asked about favorite Doctor, favorite episode, what about favorite companion? Paul?
Jamie and Zoe from the Second Doctor. I think they're a great team and great foils for Troughton.
Fred?
Ramona.
Which one?
Either one. the only companion that's really been his equal.
She was a Time Lord, yes. And I would love to know what happened to her. John?
Oh, see, now I'm gonna play the Patrick Hester game and waffle. I'm trying to think because again, I've only been watching since the reboot, so you know, I enjoyed Rose, and Martha, and even Donna lent a little something to it, and you know, Amy, I'm not crazy about the new pair, right? The new Doctor and the new companion. I kind of liked David Tennant a little better, and his various companions. But I guess I'll go with Rose.
Jeff?
Oh, no, Martha. I take that back. Totally take that back. Martha.
Jeff?
Out of all the new ones, Rose is my favorite. But overall, I've got to go with Sarah Jane, and mostly because I'm a huge fan of the Sarah Jane adventures.
Well, I was talking to a young woman just now, also Smith. Oh, there she is. Miss Smith.
Yes, Professor?
Come and meet your namesake.
Dr. John Smith. How do you do, Miss Smith?
Hello. I'm a journalist. Sarah Jane Smith.
I think as Doctor Who-based kid shows go, I think that one hits on all cylinders.
You know, I think as companions go, Martha is the most underrated.
I think she's underrated, but she, quite honestly, I've always wondered why people say this. She never really impressed me. She never really took the reins and did anything.
I thought she did an excellent job. I really did.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've always felt that she was underrated. She could have done so much more.
I agree. And she didn't. That was sort of my problem.
Well, I think that
she did when she came back, right?
I'm not happy.
All of her appearances after she left the Doctor, I thought she was fantastic.
Well, and I like that they showed that, you know, she progressed as a character
yeah.
after the Doctor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
were, you know,
get a
kinda,
life afterwards.
Yeah, Sarah Jane kind of almost didn't. She was almost exactly where she was when she last saw him, is what I felt like. But Martha became a doctor, then she became part of UNIT, then she became like a huge part of UNIT, then, you know, she's kind of talking to Jack, maybe going towards Torchwood, and then she makes the huge Torchwood. And then she makes the huge big mistake. She marries Mickey.
Did anyone see the Sarah Jane Adventures with the Matt Smith doctor where they brought Joe back?
No.
Oh.
No.
Oh.
How was it?
The episode itself was very good. The actress who played Joe was very good. The actress who played Joe had a little too much work about 20 years ago. And the doctor actually commented on it, which was probably one of the high points of it. I thought it was very well done, but it was nice to see other takes on other former companions.
Sir, gosh, that was different. Hello, everyone.
Who are you? Where's Clyde?
Come on, Ronnie, use your brain. Clyde and I swap places, yes? I'm where he was, so he's where I was, which means right now, ooh, he's in a lot of trouble.
No, Ronnie, don't you see? It's you, isn't it? Oh, you've done it again.
Hello, Sarah Jane.
Doctor? That's the doctor.
What doctor? The doctor? My doctor?
Yeah, well, he can change his face.
I know. Fit into a baby's.
Boy, imagine it from my point of view. Last time I saw you, Joe Grant, you were what, 21, 22? It's like someone baked you.
I watched the first couple episodes of that, and it was too kid show for me, and I ended up not watching much more.
Yeah, I think it's pitched that for a little bit of a younger audience than Doctor Who is.
Yes, it clearly is. I think.
Well, that explains Jeff. Okay.
Right. Well, it balances Torchwood then.
Yeah, see, I cannot stand Torchwood.
Oh, and I love Torchwood.
I cannot stand it. Torchwood is a show where we're going to take perfectly nice people and do horrible things to them for no good reason. On top of that,
there's an absolutely good reason.
We're going to put the defense of the earth in the hands of a bunch of utterly damaged people who can't get through a scene without remembering something horrible that happened.
Yes, and it's all to entertain me.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
So have you gone back and watched any of the old Doctor Who now that you've watched the new?
I did stream through Netflix. I streamed an old episode. I don't know who the doctor was and what the episode was, but it was odd, right? I liked it better than when I saw those episodes if I saw those episodes when I was younger. I remember just totally being turned off when I was younger. So, but I looked at them now and I was like, oh, I see what they're trying to do now. That's kind of cool. You know, super low budget compared with today.
Yeah.
But I totally get it.
Here's what's interesting to me, John, is that you like to read the older science fiction that we have talked about before as to the, I want to say modern reader. To the modern reader feels dated.
Yeah, yeah.
And I actually like to watch the old science fiction stuff that is absolutely frigging dated, you know, because of the special effects at the time, you know, and all that kind of stuff.
It depends. I mean, I like the retro look of like Sky Captain, right? I love that. I thought that was just, you know, visually that was awesome. And actually, I thought it was a good movie. But yeah, some older sci-fi, it's like, you know, I think Doctor Who's better than most older sci-fi. I'm just not drawn to it like I am the new series.
We need to get you that episode with the original Cybermen.
Mm. Find it in a vault.
Well, there's parts of it that have been found. I know, but the end of it with him regenerating in a Troughton, I think, is still lost.
And the Tom Baker episode, Robot, is worth watching, only just to laugh your ass off every time that thing starts walking around.
And the entire Key to Time is an awesome.
It's great. I love Key to Time.
Key to Time is awesome. Okay.
If you look at Robot, though, I mean, yeah, the robot itself is really cheap, but there's some pathos in that.
That's a great episode. Yeah,
it's a great episode. I mean, that's what I think why it's really stood up. Is that, yeah, the cardboard sets, the rubber monsters, the foam tentacles or whatever, great. But, you know, they always had some great dialogue, great stories, great pathos, history. mean, you could always find something in the absolute worst looking episode that you'd like.
Now, here's what's interesting when we look at the past versus the present. Tom Baker's reign as the Doctor was incredibly controversial because parents groups were very upset because he fought people and he threw punches, and they felt that in the Tom Baker years the violence of Doctor Who became, you know, borderline offensive and bad for kids. Fast forward to Amy Pond's skirt. do you see what I'm saying here?
But the kids that are watching all know who Katy Perry is. So
it's completely, it's just different. I mean, the I've seen, you know, there's been a lot of violence. There's been a lot of action. It's been a lot more intense, I think, and a little bit sexual now versus what it was, you know, when, oh my gosh, you know, they flipped out when Leela showed up in the skin bikini, and by skin I mean animal skin bikini.
Yeah, but the show has always been a product of its time, which is something that the Russell Davies episodes addressed. I mean, go back to the first Eccleston episode where he's looking at himself in the mirror and realizing what he looks like and looking at his clothes and looking at the present and wondering, wow, this is what London has become. And they really, you
sort
know,
of.
They played on that.
Sort of. That's what he kept saying, sort of. So it sounds like everybody's excited. I'm excited. The show comes back, what is it, on April 23rd on BBC America. I'll be watching it. It sounds like Paul and Fred and Jeff and John will not be watching it, which makes me sad. I mean, I wish you guys were more into the show.
Well, it's good to have differences of opinion, right?
And Jeopardy's
week,
on that
next
night.
Next week we'll all be going, oh, Christ, we missed Game of Thrones.
Oh, no. I have already set my TiVo. I've set the TiVo, and then I was like, is there any way to set the other tuner to record it to just in case something happens to the first one?
Well, that one you know is going to be on demand, so.
Yes. All right. Well, I think we're going to call this episode done. I want to thank you guys for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, everyone.
Thanks to everyone for coming on this week, and thanks to you guys for listening. I want to do a special shout out to Dale Chase for use of his song, Who's Your Doctor? You can find Dale Chase at dalechase.com, and you can download that song. Thanks, Dale. We really appreciate it. Now it's your chance to be a part of all of this. You can give us a call on the voicemail line, 720-277-9082. If you don't want to make the phone call, all you have to do is go to sfsignal.com, click on one of the podcast posts like this one, and there's a little flash widget there from Google. Plug your number in, Google will call you, and then you have 3 minutes to tell us what you think. And if you enjoyed this podcast, there's a couple things you can do to help us out. Number one, you can go to iTunes and give us a couple stars, or you can write us a review. That helps us by boosting our exposure on iTunes and then gets us more listeners. You can also help us get more listeners simply by telling people that you enjoy this podcast. You know, link to us from your blogs or your websites, you know, retweet us on Twitter. All that stuff helps, and we do appreciate that. And we will have an interview later on this week on Thursday, but I haven't decided what that interview is going to be yet. So you're just going to have to check the feed or check sfsignal.com and watch for it to hit on Thursday morning. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/sfsignal. John D., resident blogger, maintains that feed. If you are looking for me, I'm over at ATFMB, twitter.com/ATFMB, which is all things from my brain. That's it for me on this episode. We'll see you guys on Thursday. Bye. They all think they Bobby Filet and got them catering. These earth women so fine, who needs to pick up line? I got a canine. In every companion I've adored, rest assured, you're never bored with a Time Lord. Lost rose through a space-time rift, ran with adventurous Sarah Jane Smith. But moving like that, you get the key to the TARDIS. You're doing the mech, yeah, I bet. But the last thing I wanna see tonight's a Dalek. I swear them dudes got a one-track mind with that exterminator buzz kill every time. Play it like Astrid, take it like B.
before these Suntarans over here start a fight. Man, I just came to feel the vibe and regenerate. Okay, I brought the future you for a double date. And don't need a transmat beam to elevate. Both hearts beating for you, girl, let's spark this. Crash and burn, I come back like Jack Harkness.
Straight out the vortex, who's your doctor? Your party's in distress, who's your doctor?